Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Coach Gregory comes up to pray. We've actually got a special prayer request this morning. We have a deacon, David Fry, who lost his daughter last night. Very heartbreaking thing. And so we just want to be in prayer for him this morning. Would you come up and lead us in that today?
Come and talk to you directly. We thank you for prayer. And God, at this time, we especially lift up the Fry family. Yes. Oh God, may you just touch them and give them peace and comfort as only you can. God, we pray and we ask many times and things work out like you want them to work out, not like we want them to work out. We just thank you, God, we have the privilege to pray. Yes, Lord. And God, we know in our church family and across this community, there are many sick and hurting. Right. We pray, God, your mighty healing hand might be up on every situation as only you can, Lord. God, we pray that you just lift them up and take care of them as only you might. God, we just pray for our country. We pray for America. We pray, God, we might have a spiritual revival in this country. God, it might start right here in Montgomery County. God, just lead and guide and direct us. Lord, as we approach this Christmas season, we pray, God, we might remember the true meaning of Christmas and people might celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray at this time that you be with Brother Cal, that you give him the inspired word of God, that the Holy Spirit might speak through him in a powerful and mighty way this morning. And God, we pray for our teachers and everybody involved in worship and learning about you here at Second Mile Church. God, lead and guide and direct us. We thank you for this day. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Happens to one of us, all of us ought to be happy. And when something tough happens to one of us, all of us hurt together. And we're a family. I said, we're a family. And so David told me this morning, Lindsay passed away. We've been praying for her now for 4.5 years. We've been praying for Lindsay and David Reed. And sometimes it's hard to understand why God doesn't answer us exactly like we want him to. Well, that's why he's God and we're not. David wanted me to tell you all, thank you for your visits, your cards, your prayers. There's nothing like the family of God. And if you don't have a church home, you don't have a pastor, we'd love to talk to you about that today. But you're going to need a church family at some point in time along the way. And we're going to surround David and Carol and David Reed with loving arms, and we're going to do whatever we got to do to lift this family up. Thank you for your prayers. I know it's Christmas, but I believe in finishing what you start. And we parked at Thanksgiving last Sunday. We're going to finish up God's perfect 10 this morning. And if you got a Bible this morning, be finding Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. We are in the last of the commandments this morning, and I think it'll really help encapsulate everything that we've been talking about. And I hope you've enjoyed the study of God's perfect 10. Here it is. I want to ask you to stand. We've been up and down this morning, but just honor God's word. Exodus 20, verse 17 says, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife." Say amen. Amen. "You, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is..." Now, this encapsulates everything. "Nor anything that is your neighbor's." And who is your neighbor? That's right. Father, I pray your blessings, as Coach has already asked, God, that you would bless your authoritative, inspired, inerrant, infallible word today Apply it to our hearts, God. And when we hear from you, help us to respond in obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's children said, amen. I've entitled the message today, The Mother of All Sins. The 10th commandment is exactly that. And here's why I say that. Covetousness is the sin that not only produces, but is involved in all other sin. Did you realize that? And coveting, is an inward sin that manifests itself in all the other sins that we struggle with. And I think you'll see that as we move through that. Now, the word covet literally means to have the desire for more. More money, more wealth, more possessions, more this, more that, more everything. And it carries along with it the desire to have what someone else has. Are y'all following with me? Today, I think we probably use the words jealousy and envy to describe covetousness. You know, you can covet a neighbor's house, a neighbor's home, a neighbor's spouse, even a neighbor's children. You can covet a neighbor's animals, a neighbor's car, a neighbor's job, anything material, and it's really an excessive, envious desire for what someone else has. And so we're going to look at the 10th commandment, the mother of all sins, this morning. And I think it's more than a coincidence that we should wind up here this morning. So first of all, I want to cover with you, if you've got your sermon notes, we got a lot of scripture to look at, and we got a lot of material to cover, but we're going to do the best we can do. Let's first of all take a look at an explanation, really, of what covetousness is. First of all, it is a heart problem. It is a heart problem. Mark chapter 7 says that what comes out of a man that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Now, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 reveals that this sin is not fitting for any saint, for any Christian. And by the way, someone who practices this sin, breaking of the 10th commandment, on a regular basis will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a major issue, amen? And we don't like to talk about covetousness, but it's real. Well, let me just kind of give you this application, this story. Do y'all know what I mean by when I say a Quaker? Yeah, that's a religion in America, the Quakers. Well, this Quaker decided that he was going to give a 10-acre tract of land to anyone that was completely content with his or her lot in life. Well, as you well guessed it, there was a knock on the Quaker's door, and the Quaker answered the door, and there's a man standing there, and he said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yes, I'm here to inquire about the 10-acre tract of land." And the Quaker asked the man, he said, "Well, sir, are you completely content with everything that you have in life?" And he said, "Oh, yes, sir. I'm just as happy can be. I have everything I ever wanted." And to which the Quaker replied, "Then why do you want my 10-acre tract of land?" That is what's behind this sin. It is a problem of the heart. But it's also not only a heart problem, it's a hidden problem. Now, we don't have time to read all of these scriptures today, but Luke 16, let's read that one. Luke 16, Jesus is speaking here. He says, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, mammon is another word for what? There we go, money. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. You know, what I've noticed, it's a hidden problem, this sin of covetousness. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to admit it. It's a hidden sin. You know, and he brings up the Pharisees as the poster children of breaking of the 10th commandment. We always want to cover up, I think, the sin of covetousness. For instance, it needs to be confessed and repented and turned from so we can be delivered from this sin. Now, we don't talk a lot about it. As a matter of fact, how many of y'all have ever heard, a powerful testimony? You know, don't you love those testimonies about how God has set someone free from alcohol addiction? Don't y'all love to hear a testimony and a story about how God set somebody free? And from, not only from alcoholism, but from drug addiction, sex addiction, whatever. How many of you have ever heard a testimony of how God delivered someone from covetousness? You know why? Because it's a hidden sin. We don't want to admit to it. But it's a part of all the other sins that we commit. It's a hidden sin. It's also a hideous problem. Now, we've looked at Romans chapter 1 several times in the last few weeks. But Romans mentions that it is a hideous, nasty, filthy, moral sin. It's, as a matter of fact, Romans chapter 1 verse 29, the sin of covetousness is listed between sexual immorality and murder in the book of Romans. Now, God makes and creates a human heart to have fellowship with Him, and when something comes between that human being and God, the sin of covetousness has been committed. It's an ugly master. Now, Ephesians 5:5 says that this sin keeps people from being saved. Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and said, "What do I got to do to have eternal life? Man, I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. What do I got to do?" And Jesus looked at him and he said, "Well, have you kept the commandments?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, I've kept them." Now, that's pretty bold, isn't it? So evidently, this was a good, moral young man. But Jesus immediately got to the crux of the matter, to the problem of the matter, and he said, "I want you to go and sell everything you've got and give the proceeds to all the poor." And you remember what happened with the rich young ruler? He walked away. You see, that was his issue. The sin of covetousness, and it grabs us all. It's a horrible sin, and when it gets to be a sin that you practice over and over again, it's a sign that you don't have the Holy Spirit of God reigning and ruling in your heart and life. Tough stuff, amen? So that's an explanation of the breaking of the 10th commandment. But let's look, let's take now a look at an examination of covetousness. And I've got an Old Testament example and a New Testament example. Turn to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I'm just going to kind of set the table for this. Joshua chapter 7. Now remember, Joshua's in the process of bringing the nation of Israel into the great promised land, into Canaan land. Okay? And they're battling each and every one of these cities, and they had a great victory over Jericho. Y'all remember the story of Jericho and how the walls came? All right, tremendous victory, great victory. And then there's just this little insignificant city north of Jericho that's called Ai. Insignificant, small number of people, so they just kind of sent a small number of people up there to soldiers up there to take Ai, and they suffered an unbelievable defeat. And it tears Joshua all to pieces. And he said, "Lord, what's wrong? Why have we been defeated? We're the laughing stock of Canaan now. What's going on?" And the Lord said, "Joshua, get up off your feet. There's sin in the camp." And here's the problem. Joshua 7 and verse 20. "And Achan," that's one of the men, one of the Israelites, "answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I've done. When I saw among the spoils the great victory spoils of Jericho, he said, I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment. Just think about nobody wears suits anymore, but I used to love, Greg, those Brooks Brothers suits. 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And so there's a kind of a process in committing this sin. First of all, there's the desire. Achan saw the spoils of victory, and he wanted them for himself. He wanted this Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold. So that desire often leads to committing a deed. And the deed was what? He took it. And they were not supposed to take the spoils of victory. God had already given Joshua that command. And so, and then that always leads to deception. Well, he not only took the goods, what did he do with them? He hid them in his tent. He knew it was wrong. And he comes clean with what he had done after he was caught red-handed. But desire leads to deed, and it always winds up and ends in deception. That's the Old Testament example. Let me go to Luke chapter 12 for a New Testament example. Luke chapter 12. Let's see here. Yeah, here we are. Luke chapter 12. And he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said, that's Jesus, said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them. Now, y'all know what's going on here. Jesus is addressing the Pharisees, who were the poster children for this sin of covetousness. And he says, this is so reminiscent. They're fighting over a family inheritance issue. And can I tell you, I have seen this happen over and over and over again. Folks, a family doesn't even get out of the graveyard, and they're fussing and fighting over who's going to get the stuff that the loved one left behind. Let me just go ahead and tell you, when it comes your time and my time, you ain't taking nothing with you. Not a thing, nada. You bring nothing into this world, and you don't take anything out of this world, and all we are is managers of God's wealth. All right? And so it's senseless to argue about material wealth and possessions and trying to get everything you can get. It's not right. It's the sin of covetousness. Now, I want you to see this. Listen to this parable. It's amazing. It teaches us great truth. So he spoke a parable to them, verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. There's the desire and the deed, okay? I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. Your soul doesn't eat or drink. That's what he's saying here. Our souls don't eat or drink, do they? And so he's wanting to build bigger barns, and he tears down a little barn so he can hoard up more stuff. That's the sin of covetousness. He mistook his bank account for his Bible. He mistook his body for his soul. Your soul doesn't eat. It doesn't drink. It does get merry from time to time, I guess, but he deceived himself. He was rich in the things of this world, but he was not rich in the things of God. And God called him a what? And God doesn't make any mistakes. And that's exactly where a lot of church folks are today. I heard a sermon at our Tennessee Baptist Convention, and the title of the message was, your biggest, greatest mission field is right there in the church. Some people, not anybody here at Second Mile, But what some folks do is they affiliate with the church and they affiliate with the people of God and the things of God, but there's been no real heart change. And they're more focused on stuff and material goods and all this other junk. And they're rich in the things of this world, and they're after the things of this world, but they're not rich. Isn't that sad? Because I want to tell you, I have done hundreds of funerals, and I've been at many, many deaths, bedsides of people who died, and not one person has ever told me, "Pastor, I wished I'd have made another dollar. I wished I'd have spent more time at the office. I wished I'd have made more money. I wished I'd have done this." No, you know what they say? "Oh, I wished I'd have done this and this and that with my children. Or I wished I'd have spent more time and loved my spouse better. I wished I'd have done this and that." And it has to do with relationships. That's what we ought to focus on, is our relationship with Him and our relationship with others. Look at your neighbor and say, "I love you." See, we're struggling with that. All right. So that's an examination of covetousness. Now let's look at how do you deal with the sin of covetousness? How do we expel it, the expulsion of covetousness? Well, I'm going to give you three quick things. If you're taking notes, you ought to write these down, because here they are. Hey, if you want to whip the sin of covetousness, and it happens to all of us. It happens to you, preacher. We all break this commandment. And it's you know, we get the desire, we want this, or we want that, or we want something else. And old Michael Langford over here, he's really got some sharp stuff. I'd love to have that jacket he's got on. It happens. All right? Are y'all with me, or are y'all mad at me? It's okay to get mad at me, but I'm really not the one y'all to get mad at, because I didn't write the book. Number one, there needs to be a realization of this sin. Romans 7:7 says this: "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" Well, I mean, that makes it pretty plain, doesn't it? Paul was brought up and raised as a Jew, and he's examining all the commandments in light of his own personal sin. And you know what he says? He says, "You know what? I examined the first night and I came up smelling pretty good. Just like the rich young ruler did. But when he got to the last commandment, he was troubled in spirit." Covetousness led Paul to believe he was a lawbreaker. And deep down in Paul's heart, he knew he had broken the 10th commandment. And then he knew, as a result, he was a sinner in need of a Savior. And so the first step in dealing with covetousness is we need to recognize that this is a sin that we all deal with. Everybody in this room deals with this sin. And it may not even be material things. It may be a thing or someone or a something. You understand what I'm saying? Don't just get focused on material stuff. We covet other things. We covet people. How in the world do you think somebody having an affair got started? And why do we call it that? We need a realization of this sin. And then secondly, we need a resistance to this sin. Colossians 3:5 says, "Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness." Listen to this: "which is idolatry." Colossians 3:5 says that this sin of coveting someone or something is the sin of idolatry. You know what got Israel in trouble with God more than any other sin? It was the sins of idolatry and immorality. And so we need a resistance to this sin. Now, I think your King James Bible here in Colossians 3:5 says mortify. And that literally means to put to death. What does a mortician do? He buries the dead. And we need to put the sin of covetousness to death. I've told y'all before that Yogi Berra is one of my favorite theologians. Well, guess who comes in to a very close second place? Barney Fife. Because Barney said what? Nip it in the bud. That's right. And that's what we need to do with covetousness. We need to nip it in the bud. We need to bury it. We need to kill it. We need to put it to death. Romans 13, how do we do that? I've got a good answer for you. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. Look at your neighbor again. I love you. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, now listen to this, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And so that's the answer in resisting this sin, is loving your neighbor. Well, I really would like Michael's jacket over here, but you know what? I need to do something nice for him. And y'all know, now don't take this to the bank literally, but I have found that if I do something nice for someone else, you know what God does? He does something nice for me. And that's not why I do something nice for somebody, but when you're good to folks, that goodness comes back. I'll promise you this, all of the goodness that David Fry has given to this church and people all down through the years, that goodness is going to come back on him. That's what we're talking about, loving our neighbor. That's how you put this sin to death in your life. And then there's one final thing, and this is a good one, the replacement. We need a replacement for this sin. Now, Psalm 119, listen to this. Psalm 119, verse 36, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. In other words, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to replace that desire, that longing for someone or something, that envious, jealous desire. We need to replace that with the Word of God and coveting our neighbor's stuff. And then Hebrews 13:5 says that we should replace the sin of coveting with contentment in the Lord. Hebrews 13:5 says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Let me just ask you today, how content are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? You figured it out. If you're satisfied with Jesus, hello? You're satisfied with everything and everyone else. Isn't that right? Are you content? Or are you always thinking about, I know I'm meddling now, but JD knows what it's like to be a pastor. Being a pastor is kind of like being a daddy. The church is his family, and it's like his children. He knows, a daddy knows what's best for his children. And so he wants that child to get there, right? And that's kind of the way it is with the pastor and the sheep, you know, with the under-shepherd and the flock. I just want us to break this sin of covetousness and move on. And what we do is we love our neighbor and we fill our minds with the Word of God, and then we fill our heart with contentment in the Lord. I want to tell you, if you're not satisfied with Jesus, you're not going to be satisfied with anything. We need to find that contentment that's in the Lord. And I understand, y'all, I know the society that we live in works against all this. I get that, right? But let me tell you, in the history of the world, in the history of this nation, we've got more stuff now than we've ever had. We've got more technology. We've got more this. We've got more that. We've got more of everything. And yet, look how unhappy we are. Do you know why that is? It's because we're not content with the Lord. That's a great word from Hebrews 13:5. And then there's one final thing in this replacement process and principle. 2 Corinthians 9:5, Paul says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. With our spirit, we're to fill our spirit with generosity. How do I say this nicely? Instead of focusing on getting, focus on giving. Quit focusing on getting and keeping. Focus on giving. Giving it away. Do you know why God blesses us materially and financially? So we can bless others. It's not so that we can build bigger barns. It's so that we can be a blessing to other people. Generosity will help deal with this sin of covetousness. And by the way, let me just remind you of this. That great song we sing about the family of God. And Scripture tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus. We're co-heirs with Jesus. Now, what does Jesus have? What does Jesus own? He owns the universe. He created it. It's all His. And if you're a joint heir of Jesus, guess what? One of these days, we're going to co-star with Him and it's all going to be yours too. Look at your neighbor and say, wow. Was this week Thanksgiving? Are y'all full of turkey or what? I thought somebody would get a rise out of that. So focus on giving, not on getting. Focus on giving, generosity. And that'll help you. And so if we'll deal with the mother of all sins by replacing it with the Word of God, contentment in the Lord, and a giving spirit, you'll be well on your way to expelling the sin of covetousness. Now, this was more of a teaching sermon today, but I don't know what God wants to do with it, but there's a reason I'm supposed to finish this Ten Commandment sermon series up today. And that's about all the honey I can get out of this Bible beehive today. But it's here for all of us because every single one in this room deals with this sin. It's the mother of all sins, but it doesn't have to be that way if we'll do what we've talked about here this morning. So would you pray with me? Just right where you are, just bow your head. Close your eyes. And let's just focus on Jesus for just the next few minutes. It's an amazing thing. Every time you read the Word of God, God speaks to you. And every time you hear the Word of God, God speaks to you. And every time you are encountered with His holy, inerrant Word, there's a response on my part that has to be made. What is it? Well, I can't give that to you. Only God can. What's He saying to your heart today? What is the Spirit of Almighty God leading you to do this morning? It may be, number one, you need to know the Lord. Maybe you've affiliated with the church. Maybe you've, you know, heard all about Jesus and there you got Bible answers to Bible questions. You know all this stuff, but you don't have Him. My Bible tells me if you receive Him as Lord and Savior, if you confess that you need Him and Him alone to save you from all your sin, and turn from your sin and turn to Jesus and surrender to Him wholeheartedly right here, right now, today. You'll have power to live above the sin of covetousness. You'll have power to live above all these temptations. And you'll bring honor and glory to Him. We're going to ask in just a minute that you might do that, but for the rest of you that are here that are born again and saved, we ought to be sinning less, not more. Something that the Word of God said struck a nerve in your heart. And you need to say yes. You need to come to an old-fashioned altar today and pray. I'll be at the front to receive you and pray with you. We'll have some counselors here to pray with you. Folks on our prayer team. Some of the folks of our deacon body. But we'll be here to pray with you. There's power in that. Father, we come to you. The only way we can come. Through the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for their forgiveness. That he died for us to have. And he rose again. And he's alive this morning. And he is speaking to our heart of hearts. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. God, give us what we need today. Help us just to say yes, Lord. Just to say yes. To respond in obedience. And by the way, delayed obedience is disobedience. Whatever that is, whatever that issue is, just say yes. Father, this time is yours and yours alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.